My name is Peter Parker.
I'm pretty sure you know the rest. I saved the city, fell in love, then I saved the city again and again and again. Look, I'm a comic book, a serial, I did a Christmas album, and a so-so popsicle. But this isn't about me. Not anymore.
Spider-Man swings in once a day, zip-zaps up in his little mask and answers to no one. I love you, Miles.
Yeah, I know, Dad.
You gotta say I love you back.
Dad, are you serious?
I wanna hear it.
Look at this place.
Dad, I love you.
Dad, I love you.
That's a copy.
My name is Miles Morales. Brooklyn! I'm the one and only Spider-Man. At least that's what I thought.
You ever hear of the Super Collider? You're gonna love this.
Dimension opening now.
You're like me.
That's impossible.
All right, kid, listen up.
This fry is your universe.
It's soggy, it's weird, it's gross.
And this delicious normal fry is my universe.
So you want to learn to be Spider-Man?
Can you teach me?
Yes, I can.
Time to swing.
Ah,
good, you're doing it. Double tap to release and whip it out again.
Okay.
Whip
and release.
You're a natural. Whip.
Hey, guys.
Who are you?
I'm Gwen Stacy. I'm from another dimension.
How many more spider people are there?
Hey, fellas.
Hello.
This could literally not get any weirder.
It can get weirder.
Okay. We need to get back to our universes soon.
Brooklyn is going to collapse. My family lives in Brooklyn.
Whoa.
Miles, what's wrong?
This was never your city. It's mine.
If I don't destroy the collider, none of us will have a home to go home to.
Remember, what makes you different?
Let's go!
Is what makes you Spider-Man.
Officer,
I love you.
Wait, what?
That way. Other way.
Do animals talk in this dimension? Because I don't want to freak them out.
Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Wealth and fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big pain. Wherever there's a hang, you'll find a Spider-Man.
Hey, what's up? It's Zisu, back again. East Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. We're back again with a special for you. This is ESP at the Movies. We've got a two for you this time. But before I go any further, he's in the Spider-Verse. It's the Nez!
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Let's get into this. It's late.
Yeah. We just saw one of the two movies that we're going to be reviewing. We should probably start with that because it's the freshest.
No, let's start with Spider-Man.
Okay, well, that got overruled. Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse. I was really excited for this one. All year long, this one stars Shameik Moore as the voice of Miles Morales, Jake Johnson as Peter B. Parker, Haley Steinfeld's Gwen Stacy, Masasari Ali's Uncle Aaron, Brian Tyree Henry is Jefferson Davis, he's Paperboy, Lily Tomlin's Aunt May, on and on. We can get into more of the cast,
Spider-Ham
is played by, of course, it's like, Not seeing it at all. but yeah, this was written by Phil Lord of Lord and Miller fame, directed by Bob Perschetti. And yeah, had a lot of hype going into this one, a lot of expectations. And I'll kick it off personally. I loved this film. It really did live up to expectations, and that rarely happens. Even, you know, most movies you really hype up, it's, you know, sometimes it meets expectations, but rarely will it exceed. And I think this one really did. The animation is so unique. It's hard to think of something else like it. Can you think of anything it like compares to?
Nah, man, nothing. I mean, this movie was fucking awesome. I think out of everything Spider-Man wise, this is probably my favorite one. This is in the, I would say, the Sam Raimi universe. I don't think it's in the MCU, and it's definitely not in the Amazing Spider-Man realm. But this movie does open that door to, though, it could go into the MCU. It could go into the Amazing Spider-Man, just hence the Spider-Verse. Like Zisu said, the animation was fucking phenomenal. I loved it. I saw this regular. I'm going to see it again. I want to see it in 3D because it would probably look amazing in 3D. All the characters were awesome. My favorite was Spider-Ham, but my little gripe on that is he was hardly in it. A lot of them were hardly in it. It was mainly just, oh, he's a comedian. I don't know. Johnny what?
It turns out John Mulaney plays Spider-Ham. He is known for the show Mulaney and Documentary Now, and he's a writer on Saturday Night Live. So,
I mean, the movie was good. Each character was cool. I mean, they mainly focused on Miles and the Spider-Man that wasn't in his universe. I mean, this did have shout out to the comics as well as the old TV shows. It didn't. This was its own story, so it wasn't like, oh, that's not how the story went. This was just something completely new. But like I said, it did shout out to some of the things that go on in the comic books. Miles Morales was pretty much the main star. I really liked what he was doing, and that's the only problem I had with it was they tried to give you a family, like family values with him and his parents, but then they went away from it. They really didn't do much with it. And then they bring in his uncle, Uncle Aaron, which was cool. When we get into spoilers, we'll go into who everyone, what was really going on in this. I mean, but, I really liked the story. I thought the story was good. It was a good, unique story. I liked that you can take this and go pretty much any direction you want to go with it, because this is like, it's like I said, it's a new story. It's not nothing to do with any of the comic book storylines. But I mean, it was an amazing film. I really loved it. But the animation was just like, I've never seen it, any kind of animation done like this. It was just so, it was like layered, and then it was like regular, just two dimensional. And I don't know, I really want to see this in 3D because I think it would just make it look more awesome. It was a little long, I thought. I didn't think it needed to be that long. I know a lot of people are taking your kids to see this. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, it's kid friendly, but I thought it was a little bit long. If you haven't seen it yet and you want to take little kids, I think you might as well wait because they might get bored with what's going on. But I mean, overall, the movie was fucking awesome. I loved it, and we'll get into spoilers when we really get into what's going on in this one.
You just mentioned that it felt maybe a little long. It's an hour and 57, but I think the reason you might have felt that is because traditional animated movies almost never go past an hour and a half. So that was probably the difference.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, I saw it kind of late, but I never got bored with it. I wasn't tired, but it was just, it felt a little long, especially if you're going to take the little guys to see it. So, if you feel like your kids can handle it, then go for it. But I mean, overall, it's an amazing film. I don't know what else to say before we roll in. I mean, the main bad guy in this one is a kingpin. And that was Lee Schreiber or whatever the hell his name is, however you say his name. He was Wolverine's brother, Sabretooth, yeah, in that first Wolverine movie. But, I mean, yeah, man, the movie was awesome. Animation, man, you could probably have to talk to artists that really know on the process and what they did to make this film, because it's... some of it looks CGI, but then it was, looks like where they actually drew it by hand. But I mean, it had so much depth in the art and in the designs of each character. I mean, that's what I loved. I mean, you had your regular Spider-Man looking. You had your anime style Spider-Man. That was the one I wasn't really familiar with. I knew of it and I've seen it, but I never really followed it because it was just, it didn't seem like that for me. Zisu can probably go into it a little more because I don't even remember that character's name.
Yeah, it was Penny Parker, and SP/DR was her like kind of vehicle. That was her spider. Penny Parker was voiced by Kimco Glenn. She was Brooke Soso in Orange is the New Black, if you remember that character.
Okay.
Yeah. So she was also in Nerve, and she's played a voice in DuckTales. So the only other spider we haven't mentioned is Spider-Man Noir, and that was played by Nick Cage. That was cool to see because just in this one year, we had him as Superman in Teen Titans Go to the Movies, and that was a cool shout-out because he was once slated to play Superman, so it was cool to see him show up as Superman there. But then he goes over to the Marvel Universe and plays this noir character, and thought he did a good job. The secondary spider characters definitely don't get as much time to shine as Miles, which makes sense. You know, you got to focus on somebody, but I liked the side spiders, what they got to do when they got to do it.
They didn't really do much. I mean, they were neat. I mean, I'm a huge Spider-Ham Peter Porker fan, and he's in it. I mean, that's about it. He really didn't do much. And same thing with Spider-Man Noir. I mean, it was cool, and I liked what they showed of him, but then he doesn't really do much. But there's tons of jokes in this. There's Easter eggs and everything throughout. But yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, the movie is amazing. Do go see it if you're a Spider-Man fan. If you're already, I'm sure you've already seen this by now, but overall, man, it's definitely an amazing film. Go see it, and yeah, I guess when we get into spoilers, we'll really go into it. So,
Spider-Man, where are you coming from, Spider-Man? Nobody knows who you are.
Okay, true believers, here he is, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Today's episode, Spidey meets the spoiler.
All right, you heard that sound. Spoiler time. What do you got?
Yeah, real quick, and this is not much of a spoiler, but I just wanted to say I saw this opening day, not preview night Thursday, but opening day Thursday. in IMAX with Jade, and I was shocked to see it was a private showing. There was literally nobody else in the theater. And yes, it was 10 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, work day, school day, whatever you want to call it. But still very surprised, especially when you looked at the pick the seats. I swear there was other seats that were picked out. But anyways, that's just on the side. Also, real quick, as we get into spoilers, I just wanted to ask you, Nez, did you see what Kevin Smith wrote on Instagram on his post on the movie?
No, I didn't. I don't even know what it is. When is it, old, new, what?
Oh, yeah. He just posted this, well, 6 days ago now. But I really liked what he said, and I won't read the whole thing. I encourage you to go check it out. But he just mentioned the things of, like, when it opened with the Comics Code Authority. Like, he got, you know, super hyped there just about, you know, that... you know, you knew you were getting into something that was thinking of, you know, comic book fans and whatnot.
But I mean, it was the beginning. The beginning of the film was like a comic book, because when you got the character Miles Morales, you got him talking to himself. You see the little comic bubbles and all that, where the dialogue bubbles that pop up. And I really like that. I mean, they didn't go as far as doing it like comic sales, but it started out, I mean, like a comic book. So that's what it kind of fades away from that as the movie gets going. But I really loved how they did it that way. It probably would have bothered me if they continued to do that through the whole film. If you guys have seen that movie, The Warriors, that one that came out in the 70s, there was a Ultimate Edition or whatever director's cut. Is fucking horrible. They did it. Walter Hill did it comic book style, and it when they change the scenes, it turns into comic sales, and I thought it was fucking stupid. That was his original idea, but with the film, but I think Paramount didn't want him to do it that way. But then, since a million years after the film, he was, you know what, I'm gonna go back and do what I wanted to do. I don't like it. I love the original version. That's better. I know on Blu-ray it's only the ultimate or director's cut or whatever the hell it's called. But back to Spider-Man, I liked how it started out like that, and I'm glad they didn't go the whole movie like that. So, but it was pretty sweet. But seeing that Comics Code in the very beginning,
yeah,
was fucking awesome. I love that part.
Yeah, that was amazing. You just knew it was going to be good just almost from that moment. You know, we were already excited about it. But yeah, just to put a wrap on what Kevin Smith said, and I want to get further into our own thoughts. I thought it was interesting that he says he was blown away by Kingpin, and he feels like the filmmakers drew inspiration from his favorite rendition of the character as seen in Frank Miller's Daredevil classic Love and War. He's depicted as an impossibly oversized, brutal street thug term mob boss, and whatever it goes on to talk about, you know, that he's, you know, motivated by loss and whatnot, and how, you know, the hero's is only as good as the villain. So yeah, what'd you think of the way they portrayed Kingpin? I don't know if I've ever seen him before with, like, didn't he have like crutches?
No, not in this.
I thought he had like.
No, that was just how they drew him.
Oh.
I thought his artwork looked awesome. He looked like a big giant square, with a head in the center. But I mean, I liked how they did that. I mean, it looked cool. I think it was. I did get that Frank Miller vibe, but I would have to go back and read that again. I don't really remember. It came out a while ago. But it reminded me of old like Looney Tunes,
sure,
type of bad guys. I mean, sometimes there's big giant bad dudes, and they have that big square body, and their head is not at the very top of it. It looks like in the center, almost in the center. I really loved what they did. Liev Schreiber, or whoever this hell, yeah, you say his name. I thought he did a really good job. For those of you that watch Daredevil, I mean, we got an awesome performance by pile from Full Metal Jacket. What the fuck is his name?
Vincent D'Onofrio?
D'Onofrio. Yep. He does an amazing job. You guys haven't watched any of that. I still need to get through season three. And all you do know, it got canceled just because it's going over to Disney Plus. But we are getting, I guess, the third season for Jessica Jones. I don't know why. But we're getting the second season for Punisher. That's awesome. And I'm sure those are going to be canceled as soon as they're, soon as they're already out. But, I thought the Kingpin was awesome. He's the main bad guy. We do get another, bad guy. We get a, we get a female Dr. Octopus. What was her name?
Yeah, that was amazing. It was, played by Catherine Hahn, and it's not listed here. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but it was cool how, because I didn't see it coming personally. And when it's like she says like she's like something Octavius, immediately it snaps, and then he's like, "I bet your friends call you Doc Ock, right?" And she's like, "No." She's like, "My friends call me whatever her name was. My enemies call me Doc Ock."
I thought that was cool, man. I really liked her character, and I liked how they drew her, the artwork, and how they made her look. I mean, like I keep saying, I want to see this in 3D because it would probably look awesome. Yeah. I really liked that character. I thought that was cool. That was something I did not see coming. At the beginning of the movie, we get Spider-Man fighting the Green Goblin. He was more like a Green Goblin dragon and Scorpion, which I did not like at all. I thought it looked stupid. I can't remember what storyline the Green Goblin was when he was like that. I want to see.
I think it's from the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The Ultimate Universe stuff, but I can't. I almost said Unlimited. But I was thinking of something else. A Green Goblin looked cool. I just didn't like how Scorpion looked. They made him look, it was like one of those. Was this?
Like a scorpion. They made him look like a huge scorpion.
No, I mean, no, but not, like one of those centaurs or whatever when you got the half the half man, but then his legs were like scorpion legs and the scorpion tail. I thought that looked stupid.
You know what he looked like? He looked exactly like The Rock in The Scorpion King.
Yeah, minus the stupid ponytail that he had. They're obviously going with the Hispanic Scorpion because we get Nacho in Homecoming.
Right.
And I don't know. I hope he doesn't look like that. If he looks like that, I'm going to hate that movie because Scorpion does not look like that.
If anything, I think he'll look more tech-based than like that, like organic. He looked kind of organic.
It looks stupid. I did not like it. That was like my main thing. Scorpion's like my favorite bad guy. And I was like, oh, really? But hey, I didn't draw it and I didn't write it. But that was cool. I mean, I kind of, what the storyline is, the Kingpin, he lost his wife and he lost his son, which is a true comic storyline, which I thought was awesome. And they made, what was that? What did they call it?
I can't remember right off the top of my head. But it was like a collider, I think is the word they threw out.
It was kind of like a time portal thing.
Yeah.
Basically, he wanted to go back and, I assume, save his family. And then why they made this collider, they're actually in Miles Morales' universe. So it's in New York and they're in Brooklyn, but there's slightly things have changed. We get an awesome Spider-Man in his universe, but then slowly since the collider opened up, it started sucking everybody into Miles Morales's universe. And the Spider-Man that was in the main universe, Miles Morales, was Chris Pine. I didn't even know that was him until after I saw it. But that was cool. I mean, he was hardly in it, but it was cool. And then we were already in spoilers. Spider-Man dies he gets killed by the Kingpin, which was fucking awesome. Yeah. Kingpin just
smashed him.
Kingpin, don't talk loud when it's not in front of you. He fucking just beat the shit out of him, which I thought was shocking. Sure. Just because it's animated doesn't mean necessarily make it a kid film. That's what I really loved about that. And Kingpin just basically just beat him to a pulp and killed Spider-Man. So Miles is kind of like, if you saw Venom, at the very, very end of it, they show the scene where Miles Morales is in the cemetery looking at Spider-Man or Peter Parker's grave. And then this other Spider-Man comes falling in. That was, who was it? I don't know. He's on New Girl.
Jake Johnson.
Yeah,
also in Jurassic World, the first one.
I don't remember that stupid movie. He comes in to play, and Miles Morales is like, well, what the fuck's going on? He doesn't really know what's happening. And you get that whole scene of the cops chasing Miles, and he's hauling Spider-Man around. But then when he comes to, because he's like, well, I thought you were dead. And The Spider-Man and Miles Morales, this might sound confusing, but those of you that saw it already know. The Spider-Man in Miles Morales' universe is blonde. The traditional Spider-Man that we all know is like brown, dark brown hair. And that's Jack Johnson? Jake Johnson. Jack Johnson. That's a singer. So he's trying to like, well, he doesn't know how he got there. But what I liked about this, every time they introduced new characters, they would do like flashbacks and show what happened, where they were, what their time was, their universe and everything. So, I mean, and then it goes on from there. So basically from this point on, they're trying to figure out how to, or before Spider-Man, Chris Pine's Spider-Man gets killed, he gives Miles the, what the fuck did they call it?
Lovingly, the Peter Parker from the main universe calls it a goober.
Yeah. It looked like a little flash driver type of thing. If you stuck it in the collider, it would make it work. So the rest of the film, they're trying to get back to the collider so everyone can get sent back to their universes. So, but slowly as the film goes, this is when all these other characters pop in. But with Miles Morales, we do get the family side of it. He's living with his mom and dad. He's going off to a new school. His dad's a cop. I think his mom was Puerto Rican or something. I can't remember. But we get introduced to Uncle Aaron, Miles's dad's brother. And if you guys know the storyline, he is actually the Prowler. So I think I like that story a little bit more because Miles and his Uncle Aaron had a better relationship than Miles had with his dad. I mean, they tried to kind of put that on you, but they really didn't go into it on why. I don't know why, but it was cool. I liked that, the whole family values type of thing. But as far as the way the Prowler looked, I didn't like how he looked.
Oh, man, I loved it. I thought he looked so cool. I loved, like, the way the gauntlets and the way that the hand looked. And just the way he, like, the animation of it, too, was great. The way he, like, really just flew and kind of flashed all over the place. Oh man, I really loved it. And on top of that, just that idea, and then it actually does build the story of what we are in spoilers, obviously, that when Prowler has to take Miles out and the mask comes up and he sees his Miles and he won't do it. So Kingpin yet again takes out another person. He takes out Prowler, Uncle Aaron, and we have that loss, and it's so interesting because we had the scene in the room, and I thought that was just so well done that, like, that's core to Spider-Man's story, and it's different for everybody, and you got to hear everybody speak up. Noir, Gwen Stacy, Penny Parker, each of them had their loss, and in their universe, that's what makes them who they are, you know? So I thought that was cool. Just right off the top, I know Penny Parker lost her father. I know Gwen Stacy, Spider-Gwen, I know in her story, she actually lost her best friend, Peter Parker. In that universe, he actually became the Lizard. So she loses him. Each of them have their like loss. And for his, it was Uncle Aaron who, like you were saying, it was closer than even to his parents. He felt that Aaron like related more to him. And we get that scene early in the movie when he takes him to a place to do the tagging and stuff. And even that looked awesome. That was really cool how they did that.
I thought this part was stupid. The spider, the radioactive spider or whatever it was, the bit Miles. Even in the Spider-Man movies or even in the old, 66 or 67 cartoon or any version of Spider-Man, when spider bites them, they kind of like, ow, oh, and what the fuck? And,
oh, you didn't like that?
He didn't even do it. He didn't.
He said, blick.
No, but he didn't. I mean, if a spider bites you, man, you're gonna fuck. What was that?
Yeah.
He didn't. I thought I was like, oh, duh, man.
He kind of did, but no, then he was like,
no, he did. Blick. That's all he did. He just went, oh, a spider, and knocked it off his hand. I thought that was stupid. I was like, come on. I mean, at least flinch. And then I would, but I was like, eh, whatever. But, I did like that. I mean, of what or how he becomes a spider. Gets his spider powers. But I really love the, I think this was in the books when he turns invisible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember what they called it. It wasn't just turning invisible. They called it something. Right. Do you remember?
I don't remember right off the bat, but I do remember the other thing he had was like Venom Strike.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, those come straight from, Miles' origin. So that was really cool. To top off what Kevin Smith said and to get into our next topic of discussion, toward the end of his post, he talks about this is all stuff that Stan and Steve dreamed up when Marvel in its infancy, speaking of which, bring a crying towel for the heartbreaking cameo by the real Stan Lee. And you could have guessed it was coming, but considering we just lost him, I wasn't. So when we got it, it really did kind of hit me, and everything he said. And I know Spider-Man was Stan's favorite character. So I was like, oh man, it was, it almost had you, you know, tearing up. I know I really was feeling it. And I was like, man. But it was just so good. And it was a great scene and the no returns. Everybody was buying, Spidey outfits because the Chris Pine's Spider-Man had just passed. So, yeah, what'd you think of Stan's cameo? And were you expecting it? Because I wasn't.
I knew it was. Someone already spoiled it before.
Oh.
So I knew he was going to be in it anyway. Of course, I mean, he's been in everything Marvel. So it was like just tradition to have him in it. It's going to be a real tearjerker when we see him in Endgame.
That's
got to
be it.
But. I liked what he said. I liked what was going on. At the very end of the film, there's a quote by Stan Lee, and you see his glasses.
Amazing.
Which was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, but I like that. I mean, like, you know how when he pops into his films, he just pops in and says something or just does something cool. But this one had a lot of meaning. I mean, yeah. We just lost him. So, I mean, it was a really good scene. And what he said, I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was really meaningful to Miles. So I thought that was pretty sweet. But with the rest of the film, it's basically them trying to get the collider to put everyone back into the universes. But along the way, man, it's fucking awesome. All the fighting is cool. Just I can't go do well enough, talk well more about the animation of it. I mean, the thing I liked about this in Miles' universe, Spider-Man died. But this was kind of a little jab at DC. This Spider-Man has a spider cave. And in the regular, in our universe with Spider-Man, Aunt May doesn't know he's Spider-Man until way, way, way much later. But in Miles's universe, Aunt May knew what was going on, who he knew he was Spider-Man and was basically helping him. She was basically the Alfred of Spider-Man. So I was kind of like, really? Because when we go into the spider cave, you see all these different Spider-Man outfits, which are awesome because a lot of these are in the video game. And but it was really cool. I liked that. And Lily Tomlin, she's an amazing actress. I loved her in just about everything she's been in. It was cool to see her. But if this Jake Johnson, when he lost his Uncle Ben and he lost Aunt May, they had passed. So this was kind of a sad scene because when he finds out that, Aunt May is still alive in this universe. So when he goes to see her, he's kind of, it was kind of sad. I mean, Aunt May didn't really know, that wasn't her Peter. So, it was cool, man. But I mean, they did throw a lot of like, stuff, like emotional things at you, which yeah. I thought was cool. And, mainly for a fucking animated film. I mean, you know, Disney and Pixar, throw that at you all the time, but it was really cool to see something like that. And, I really liked her character in this. Lily Tomlin did an amazing job. But I don't know. What was it, a jab at Batman?
That's interesting that you caught that, because I didn't catch that at all. But now that you say it, I'm like, interesting. Like, especially with the connection you're talking about, the Alfred thing, because I can totally see that now. So, yeah, I think you might be onto something. But, yeah, that's interesting. Amongst the spider suits in the cave, I couldn't help. I was like, I can't wait to see it again because I want to look for more. Or maybe I should just find a still online and really pick it apart. But right away, I caught on the very left the new spider suit from the PlayStation 4 game. I know that was there. The big time, what's called the big time Spider-Man outfit, that was there. The stealth, the green lined suit was there. I caught that. So yeah, I was like, the Iron Spider suit. So yeah, that was really exciting. And then very last point I want to make from Kevin Smith's post was, he says that, another thing that, he'll never not tear up when he hears "Get Up, Spider-Man." And you know, that's, for the comics, that's such a important thing. I don't know if you remember that cover with he's like holding the thing up. And, you know, they've done it in different ways. Like they just did it recently in Homecoming when Vulture kind of buries him and he's trapped, you know. It's a Get Up Spider-Man moment. So any thoughts on that part?
Oh, no, I mean, you knew it coming. They do it in all the films, so you knew it was coming. So it wasn't like a surprise.
Right.
But yeah, so the rest of the film, they're getting help now. They know what's going on. Miles, he actually gets his actual spider suit, that he does. He gets one and then he makes it his own, which is fucking awesome. I loved, the spray paint spider that he puts on, the front of his suit and everything, but it was pretty cool. As far as the Jays,
why not?
No,
I like it.
I don't care, man. It was a fucking ripoff from this artist, from another pod that I listened to. And I totally agree with him. Yeah, fucking, they stole that design from him clearly. And, if you, Sony guys are listening or Spider, you guys that stole the fuck you guys. But I mean, I like it. I mean, I thought it was cool. I mean, I don't know about as far as getting those shoes. I think Marky tried for him, but he didn't get the right. I could give a fuck about Nikes, man. I just don't like them anymore. I'm a Vans guy, so but I did have some J's back in the day, so when they first came out. But I mean, I liked his whole design on how his suit was and how he looked and everything. I even liked when he first got when he bought the Spider-Man costume from Stan Lee's shop, and then when he put it on, how it was. He was like, it was too small, and he told him that Stanley told him, hey, one size fits all. Yeah. And it did. One size didn't fit all because he looked like a little hobo Spider-Man. But it was,
you could clearly see the eyes.
Yeah, I thought that was cool, man. He looked awesome as that. I mean, yeah, any way he looked, even when he had the hoodie and everything, he looked awesome. When he had the old little costume, store-bought costume was awesome. Then when he gets his final suit, which is awesome. But his suit changes throughout the storylines. I don't know if they're going to do that in these movies. But they obviously are going to make another one. Getting to the end, there is one credit scene, but it's like in the very, very beginning. There's nothing at the end of the film. So once the credits start, after you see the last scene, you feel free to get up and go. But fuck, man, the whole time I was watching this film, like, okay, man, we got all these cool Spider-Mans and everything, but one of my all-time favorites is Spider-Man 2099, and fucking we get him at the end. It was fucking glorious. And we also get the Spider-Man 66 or 67. I can't remember. It's one of those because I know the Batman 66. Yeah. I think it's 67. We get him and we get Batman, We get Spider-Man 2099 and he looked fucking awesome. Now we got to wait for that one. Cause I really wanted him to at least pop in this or swing in and do something, but, we get it at the very end. But when, during that scene, everyone fucking left. Nobody was in the theater except for me and two other dudes. Everyone just got up and rolled out, like immediately. I mean, it came on fairly pretty quick, but everyone got up and took off. But, it was glorious. I was so hyped and so fucking excited. I fucking went, oh shit. As soon as I saw his hand, I was like, oh fuck. I was like, oh man, it was fucking awesome. I loved it. So I really can't, wait for the next one because we're going to get, 2099 Spider-Man. If you guys don't know who that is, look it up. He's awesome. What was his name? That Spider-Man.
Isn't it Miguel Herrera?
Yeah, that was it. But fuck, man, I can't wait for it. It's going to be fucking awesome. I thought the score was awesome, but the fucking soundtrack was bullshit. I didn't like any of that except for the Biggie song. I thought that was awesome. But fuck, man, I didn't.
There was one song I liked.
I didn't like any of that shit. It's all that new hip hop bullshit, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, there was one song I liked on there. I think it was like the Hello Danger or something.
Bullshit.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, do you know who played 2099?
It was, what's his name? Oscar Isaac, wasn't it? Yeah. Fucking Poe Dameron.
Woo!
I saw that at the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, fuck, this movie's awesome. I think that's about it because we still got another movie to talk about.
Yeah.
A fucking awesome film. Go see it. See it in 3D. I think it would look awesome.
Yeah, I'm definitely wanting to see it in 3D too. Definitely got to see this again. And looking forward to it. I loved all the spider characters. I love the animation. Everything about it is brilliant. So, yeah.
Oh, fucking Spider-Man Noir. I thought that was fucking amazing when what year is he in? In the 50s?
I think he's actually, it's like the 20s or 30s.
Okay, yeah, somewhere way back there. So he's black and white. And then, I don't know, in his realm, it's all black and white. So they don't see no color. But there was a funny thing in this one. He finds a Rubik's Cube and he's kind of fascinated by it. And he knows it's a puzzle. And when he's getting ready to go back to his universe, he goes, I'm going to take this puzzle cube with me. And it was something. To him, it probably looks all black.
Yeah.
But you, to us, we see that it's all the different colors. If you guys, for you younger listeners, I don't know if you know what Rubik's Cubes are, but I thought that was really funny. I think that was like the best joke that popped for me, and I laughed because he's colorblind and he couldn't see. So I don't know, but I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. And to put a topper on the whole 2099 scene with the Spider-Man 66 or 67, the most amazing thing about it was that they replayed what's now a common meme of it's the when the two Spider-Mans that are dressed up and they're pointing at each other. And it's used nonstop when like people are dressed the same. They throw up the Spider-Man meme and just the way they were going at each other. And he's like, don't you point at me? And he was like, what? No, you pointed at me. You're pointing at me. Don't point at me. You said you pointed at me. And it's just, it was a great, great way to end it. So, but yeah, love the film and everything about it. So, ready to get into the next one?
Yep. All right, true believers, that was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Awesome film. Both of us loved it. Go and see it. And on to the new one. We just got out of seeing that one. This is DC's Aquaman.
Arthur is talking to the fish.
My parents were from different worlds. They made me what I am.
Your half-brother is about to declare war upon the surface world.
Go home, Arthur. You are not going to win this.
Aquaman.
I don't even know who directed it. James Wan directed it. Awesome. I love James Wan. Written by it's written by committee.
Jeff Johns.
There's a whole bunch of people wrote it. Well, screenplay by David Leslie Johnson, McGoldick, Will Beall, Jeff Johns, James Wan, Will Beall. They did the story. And a shout out to the guys who created Aquaman, Paul Norris and Mort Weisenberg. James Wan, fucking awesome director. He's did the Conjuring universe and Insidious and fucking one of the Fast and Furious movies. This movie's pretty. Wait, hold on. Stars Jason Momoa. You guys already know who he is. Amber Heard, so hot. She was Mira. We get William Dafoe as Volko. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Wilson plays King Orin. Him and James Wan and Patrick Wilson, he's done a ton of shit with him. He's also in the Insidious films as well as the Conjuring ones. We get Nicole Kidman. She's, I can't remember to read that. Is it Atlanta or Atlania? Or
yeah, you got
whatever. Dolph Lundgren, we get Drago himself. He's King Neurosis or... Nero's or I don't know.
Yeah.
Fucking whatever. And then we get I'm not even gonna try this guy's name. Abdul something. Yahya Abdul Mateen, I think the second. He's a Black Manta. Then we get Tomorrow Morrison, Django Fett. Fucking Once We're Warriors. If you guys haven't seen that, check that out. Fucking awesome film. He's Tom Curry. And then there was a few other guys that were young, young Aquaman. We get Michael Beach in it for a little bit. He's Manta's father. And, Randall Park for you, yeah. Fresh Off the Boat guys, he's in it. And there's a fucking million other people in this. Julie Andrews was in this? Mary Poppins herself? Who was she? She might have been one of them. I don't know. Maybe one of those... female alien or underwater creatures.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know which one she was. There was so many people. I mean,
the mother that when the one young one, she's like holding on to her.
Don't talk to you if this isn't in front of you.
It catches it.
I know, but it sounds crappy when you're talking way over there. But overall, I mean, well, let me just tell you what this is. Arthur Curry learns that he is the heir to the underwater kingdom of Atlantis, and his stepbrother, and must step forward to lead his people and be the hero to the world. This started out, I want to say it started out in 85, when Django and Nicole Kidman met, and then they have a kid, and then it rolls into, once the film gets going, it's present day, so I assume... sitting there thinking about it, this had to have happened before Justice League, because he didn't mention, hey, well, fuck, man, we need help. I got all my super friends to come help us. So I don't know. I assume this is before Justice League. And I have something about that. Well, when we get into spoilers, I'll come back to that one. But overall, I mean, I thought it was good. I mean, it wasn't hella good, but it's worth watching. Mm-hmm. I was super excited for this film because I did love him in Justice League. But I kind of, the beginning was awesome. The effects were amazing. But then it just fell apart at the end. And I was kind of like, yeah, okay, come on. Something happened. Well, there was plenty happening at the end, but it was just, it got boring at the end. And I wasn't really satisfied with the way some of it ended. But I mean, overall, I mean, go see it. I know a lot of you ladies out there are just going to go see it for Jason Momoa. Yeah, he's got his shirt is off pretty much the whole movie. But Amber Heard, amazing. I liked her in a ton of things. She just looks hot as hell in this. Who else? Nicole Kidman, man. I mean, I thought she did good. She's not good in everything, but do check out Boy Erased. She was amazing in that. I hope she gets Academy Award for it. But she was good in this. I did like how they do I think Marvel's the one that started it with these young-looking characters, made it Tamara Morrison and Nicole Kidman look really young in the beginning, and then they at the end they show how they are. But I don't know if I'll see this again. I know I'll buy it when it comes out, but I thought it was good. It was just a lot of it. I mean, especially underwater stuff when they're swimming around, it was a little too busy. There was too much on the screen. And I got dizzy at times because it was just, I don't know if we were just too close to the screen or what. I mean, but I liked the story and what was going on. And I did like the characters that were in it, but it was just kind of, it just fell flat in some parts. I mean, the bad guys in this, we already know it's Black Manta and Patrick Wilson's character, Aquaman's half brother. And I don't know. I didn't buy that rivalry. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was okay. It should have been Black Manta the whole time. We didn't get that because you knew that he's basically trying to be the heir for Atlantis. He doesn't want to be, but then his family's like, well, you got to be. So, but I mean, overall, everyone did their part. James Wan did an amazing job directing this. I believe this is his first comic book movie. Because he's done all his other things and he's got his hands in a million other horror films and everything. So he did give us the Saw. That was an amazing film. The first one, that was the best one out of all of them. But I thought he did a good job. Jason Momoa was awesome and everything. William Dafoe, I think I really liked his character. I didn't dig the slick back hair with some of these guys, but I loved it when which was surprising was Dolph Lundgren. They gave him a bigger part in this, and I liked when they were underwater when they totally went away from that stupid shit we saw in Justice League when they were underwater because that looked horrible. This one, James Wan just said, fuck it, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do it my way. And I thought James Wan's way looked better when they were underwater talking. But I liked how the people with long hair, like the ladies and Jason Momoa, when they were underwater, their hair was moving with the water. And I thought that was cool. But William Dafoe and Patrick Wilson, they had like slick back hair and it just never moved. So, but it was cool. I mean, all the underwater stuff was cool. I liked all the sea creatures and everything. And even some of the new stuff they made for this. I thought the best thing that design wise was Black Manta. I thought he looked amazing and they did give a shout out to the original design from the books. I don't really, Aquaman wasn't really a character that I followed that much. He was just kind of like a side character. So I really didn't know that much of the story. So I don't know if you guys are huge Aquaman fans. I don't really know that story. I know who he is and know where he's where he belongs, but I just didn't, I don't know if this is went along with the books or what, but overall, the film, it is what it is. It's good. But I just wasn't blown away as much as I wanted to be, because I thought he did an amazing job in Justice League. And yeah, that's it. Definitely go see it. And we'll get into spoilers in a minute.
Yeah, I think I echo a lot of your thoughts on it. The first thing that came to mind, and was what I told you first thing in the theater, was my head was kind of spinning about this movie. Some of it was the effects, but some of it was just some of the interesting and weird choices. And that's not saying it was a bad thing. It was unique, and I kept thinking, like, man, James Wan is doing something here. Some of his music choices felt so unique. Like, they didn't seem to fit. Like either one, a comic book movie, or even two, Aquaman. There's that, it's not much of a spoiler, but there's a scene in like Sicily and they're playing almost like a romantic type song. And like, I get it, but it was like, it felt so weird. Like, I don't know. It just, you don't normally see that, especially with like comic book films, is what I'm saying. Like, it felt so different. It definitely felt like he was putting his stamp on it.
Yeah, he was making it his own, because usually we get the score and then you get all the stupid ass hip hop songs that these guys make, and fucking that Pitbull or whatever the fuck it was just ruined and demolished Toto's Africa. Fuck, I would have rather had Weezer's version in this film, but I don't know. And the going to the end, during the end, this is not a spoiler or anything, but whoever sang that song at the very end when the credits were rolling, I was like, oh my God, please. It should have just been an action-packed so I thought the score was amazing. I liked what they did. It was just when people were singing and everything, I was just saying, I don't want to hear that shit. Just give me orchestras and all that. But yeah, I really liked the score in this one.
But yeah, like I said, I don't know if the weird choices hurt it necessarily. It did make it unique, and you know, I do give it some points for that. I don't know if I loved it, but I was definitely intrigued by it. I thought there were a few funny parts. You know, it wasn't the funniest thing ever, but, you know, good for a few laughs here or there. Like Nez said, I thought the effects were very well done. Because you can only imagine, you just try to decipher it in your head, and you're picturing they're, you know, obviously on blue and green screen stages, probably with harnesses, kind of, you know, floating around that way. But yeah, just the way they made everything, and like you said, with the hair, obviously I think the Willem Dafoe and Patrick Wilson, they, as much as they could, they were like, let us try to get away from having to, you know, animate the hair, because obviously that was going to be a big feature for characters like Aquaman and Mira. So, but yeah, like Nez said, everybody was pretty solid. I didn't know about Dolph Lundgren, so that was quite interesting to see him show up. While we were just browsing the cast, too, a couple of ones I didn't realize. It did sound like him, so I'm not surprised, but John Rhys-Davies, who was Gimli in the Lord of the Rings series, he was also in Indiana Jones, he was the Brine King. And Damon Husson, he was King Rico. You know, he was Korath in Guardians of the Galaxy. He was in Gladiator, Blood Diamond in America. So, yeah, anyways, that was interesting. But, yeah, I don't know. As far as the opening, I think that's it for me, if you're ready to get into spoilers.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, everyone's does their parts and all that, so it was cool. I did like the, we're not in spoilers yet. I did like the different sea creatures that they made. I mean, I love the I think my favorite one was the great white sharks with freaking laser beams on their head. I thought that was fucking awesome. And they, I guess they were seahorses, but I wasn't too sure they had legs. So I don't know, but there was a lot of different little, creatures that they, underwater creatures that they, made in this. And as far as the ships that they were flying around in, I thought that was cool. I think, one of the things I caught, which I thought was awesome, was, when Aquaman was swimming. When he jumps in and kicks into light speed, it reminded me of Superman, how he was, like how when he's in the air and he fucking just shoots off, you hear that big boom. That's how Aquaman and all the other guys, when they were swimming fast in this, I thought that was cool. And it was all underwater, so I thought that was pretty awesome. But yeah, I mean, there's so much going on the screen during the action scenes or just underwater scenes with the fish and everything. And when they get to Atlantis and how awesome that looks, or even the ruins that they go into, I thought was pretty awesome. But yeah, I mean, let's roll into spoilers because there's other shit you want to talk about.
Aquaman, swift and powerful monarch of the oceans, with ability to summon and command all creatures of the deep. Aquaman, who with his teenage ally, Aqualad, guards and defends all that lives in the seas against the forces of evil. Aquaman, king of the seven seas.
In this one, I mean, they really didn't really go into it in the trailers, I don't think. Did they even mention what his mission was to get the, what the fuck was that pitchfork called?
Trident.
Yeah.
And it was like the first king of Atlantis's trident, and nobody's wielded it since. The thing I wanted to open up with was the start of the movie, and they do address it, but immediately I was like, man, Aqua villain. He like saves all those people, but just because the pirates attacked Black Manta, he leaves Black Manta's father to die. And I was like, damn, Aqua villain.
Well, he said it. He goes, look, you guys killed all kinds of people. It's only right that I'm going to leave you here too. So, I mean, he wasn't really, he was kind of a hero, but not really yet. He wasn't Aquaman. This is just what people were calling him. That's why I'm sitting there thinking this had to have been before, Justice League, because, at the very end of this is when he actually gets the yellow or orange or whatever and green suit. You can see that on the posters of the actual Aquaman suit that we all know. In Justice League, when he comes on the scene, he's like how he is before he even gets to Atlantis. He's like he stops fish rustlers and he's partying and all that. I love that scene. We'll get to that in a minute. But I'm not sure where they're at in the timeline in this.
Exactly. You're nailing it, because when I think back to Justice League, I remember even his intro, it's like mysterious, like when Bruce Wayne is hunting him down and he finds him at the thing. And it's like, I heard rumors, you know, of this guy around here. But even there, like it's weird. Just the vibe, like it's hard to figure out where this could be.
Where were they in Justice League when he finds him?
If I'm remembering right, I thought it was like Norway. Like it was, because it was more icy. And that didn't line up with this one either.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure when the DCEU or whatever the hell you want to call it, their timeline is, because I don't know. Unless maybe... I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe something happens to where he's like, fuck, I don't want to be the king of Atlantis in this one. Cause at the very end of the film, basically he becomes the king, but there's so much in between from the beginning and the end. It's him. It's kind of like, it turns into like an adventure movie where he's on a quest to find the, what is it?
The Trident.
Yeah. When him and
Mira
go and look for it. My fucking Amber Heard is so hot. I just wanted her on the whole screen the whole time. And I love that red hair. I didn't like it when we first seen pictures of her, but as the movie goes, I'm just used to it. She's blonde, so Yeah. But I liked it. It turned into like kind of almost like an Indiana Jones type of adventure, Tomb Raider type of deal. I did like that. And having to go through the trials to get the Trident. But it was cool. I mean, I like that. The problem I had, I didn't have a problem with Black Manta. I loved the guy that was him. For some reason, I was getting a Michael Jai White vibe from him. I guess we can. He was a character in Dark Knight, but I think he got killed. But I was getting that vibe from him. I mean, if Michael Jai White would have been Black Manta, I would have been cool with it. Who is this guy? I know I've seen him, but I'm not too sure what he has done. But I mean, he did an amazing job. I bought his anger on why he was trying to get Aquaman. So I thought that was cool.
Interestingly, he was Cadillac in the Get Down, if you remember that character.
Oh, fuck, I don't remember.
Okay. He's also in Handmaid's Tale. He was in The Greatest Showman. He was in Baywatch. Not much, so.
I don't probably, he must be like secondary character because I didn't even recognize him. But, oh, okay, yeah, I remember Cadillac. He was the main bad dude in the Get Down. Okay, now do we see him? Okay. But yeah, I liked Black Manta. I liked his character and everything in this. But I don't know what else. I mean, there was, spoiler wise, it wasn't nothing like, oh my gosh. There was no oh my God moments in this film. I didn't think so.
Yeah, nothing, because we are in spoilers. No other Justice League member appears, even in any post-credit scenes. So there isn't anything like, yes, there's Wonder Woman, you know, or anything like you're saying, no big moment. I think you were teasing this, but probably my favorite scene, and it actually was funny, was early in the movie when Jason Momoa is having a drink with his father at the bar, and these guys walk over, and it appears like it's going to be a fight, and even Django, Tamara Morrison's like, oh, here we go, like he's like, you're ready for a brawl, and it's like it's traditional movies, it would be, and instead the guys just want a photo op, and it was funny because I it was unexpected, and then just to see the photos and what they got out of it. So I thought that scene was amazing.
Yeah, all this is somewhere on the East Coast because they were in Atlantic Ocean where all this was going on. But this is what made me just think about it, or it made me think about when we were watching this film. In Justice League, he was supposedly kind of not really a myth, but like a legend. Yeah. And this time in America, everybody knew who he was because these guys walk up to him. Hey, you're the Aqua guy. Can we get a picture with you? And why was he so mysterious over in Norway or wherever the hell he was in Justice League? So I don't know exactly when this in the timeline is. So I don't know. But then again, I mean, there wasn't really no shocking moments in this. I mean, it would probably have been shocking if Superman or somebody popped up into it. I mean, there was a lady that was sitting a couple seats over. She was really like, I hope Wonder Woman's in this or I'm not going to care. I knew she wasn't going to pop in there because this new Wonder Woman movie is supposed to be in the 80s. So yeah, I knew that. I was just hoping for maybe Superman or someone to pop into this, but I mean, there's no oh my God moments in this. It's just a lot of visuals. Yeah. which was amazing. I thought it was just, I just thought the story started to drag at the end when the final battle, and it seemed like that final battle went on and on and on, and I don't know, I mean, I just was kind of getting bored. And other than feeling a little dizzy, it just had, I think just because we were closer to the screen. It didn't seem like we were that close, but
no.
I think once the, during the action, when all that, because when they're fighting underwater and they're all over the place, it was like a little dizzying.
That, and if you notice, even when they were fighting outside, like in the Sicily scene, James Wan seemed to like this almost spin around the action camera. So there was definitely a lot of that too.
The scene when they're in the Sahara Desert, you've seen it in the trailer when she jumps out and they go falling into the sand. Did that look CGI when they were walking, or were they actually out there?
Now that you say it, I question it more. I just assumed they got the shot, they flew out there and did it, but yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was CG. But like you said, the jumping out of the plane scene, yes, we had seen it a while back. So, you know, you were just getting ready for it. You knew it was going to happen. And his old line, you know, redheads, gotta love them and stuff like that. You'd seen it before, but still it was cool. I like that. And like you said, it turns into almost like the Tomb Raider thing. Like it was this once was the Sahara, once was underwater. And, you know, now they're in search of this. So yeah, I did like all that, but yeah, going back to the final battle, it was impressive to see all the effects, and you know, I did appreciate it. And for me personally, it was fine. I knew we had to get through this stuff, but right before that, when he actually receives the trident, it was interesting. His power of talking to the sea creatures and stuff. And it's funny because that's such a, everybody for so many years is like kind of made fun of Aquaman as far as like a comic book character, and like, oh, he talks to fish, and it became such a punchline. And then even, you know, SpongeBob and stuff and through the years. But it's interesting that they chose to make that point in this and try to make it more cool. And like this creature that guarded the trident, it's interesting that it's talking, but it assumes that whatever is there isn't hearing it. And it's like, whoa, you're the first person I've talked to in millennia and you're worthy.
Was he the only one that could talk to all the sea creatures? Because it didn't seem like anyone else. Though, like,
yeah,
everyone was super strong and they could swim super fast. The only one that seemed like they had powers was Aquaman and Mera. Yeah. Mera, was that her name? She had some kind of water
control. The water
control the water type of thing. She did. There was an awesome scene, which I thought this was fucking, it would have been scary as fuck in the beginning. There's about to be a war underwater, and they want to bring it up into the land, whatever. I can't remember what they said, but up above they wanted to bring the war to them because they were mad that the humans up top were ruining the sea, and they did. There was a little shot at our government. They said people that are running the country. And it this was fucking true, man. I love that James Wan did this, or whoever wrote the story. There was a ton of guys that wrote this. I love that they threw that what we're doing to the oceans. They show scenes of that, and like when the ocean was striking back, there was this huge tidal wave, and all these military ships and boats and everything just came crashing. It was basically like a giant tidal wave that hit the East Coast. And I thought that was awesome. It looked cool. And during some of the new scenes, when they showed the devastation of after that giant wave, I liked that. They said all the garbage that was in the ocean was on land, which was, I thought was fucking awesome. I thought that was cool. It was all total CG, but there was a couple shots from the news things where it was real life, and that stuff happens. And, I think one of the other scenes when they were talking about, you guys are polluting the water, you see these big giant, barrel canisters going under, leaking. Some of it looked like toxic waste. Some of it looked like oil, and just they were getting mad. That was their home, the sea, and they were the turtles and everything, they even showed the little plastic things that hold the soda cans. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, they do. There was a little messages throughout this film, which I thought was cool. I thought that was amazing that they did that. Aquaman could talk to the fish and everything, and Mera could do something with the water, because when that tidal wave hit, it knocked over Aquaman's truck. Him and his dad were in, and his dad basically drowned. But he was trying to revive him, but he didn't know what to do. And she's like, "Can't get out of the way." She put her hand over his face and basically sucked all the water out of him, so it brought him back to life, because it came out of his lungs and everything. And I thought she was able to do cool tricks with the water. I thought when she did her magic or whatever with the water, I thought all those scenes that she did, I thought they were awesome. There was one scene when they were, what was that thing that they had? It was kind of like a key to get this gear.
Basically,
what was it? Was it a map they were trying to get?
Yeah, that was basically it.
But since they were out in the desert, and she goes, "Well, they stuck the little key in, nothing happened," and like, "Full fuck," and he's like, "Well, shit, we need water. We need to get it wet so it'll work." And they go, "Well, we're out in the desert. We don't got nothing." So she goes, "Well, wait a minute," and she like puts her hand up close to his face and basically sucks all the moisture out of his face, like a couple drops of sweat, and then she drops it onto the little key, and then it turns blue, and then it gets going. Which I thought was cool. And that was her power. Those seemed like to be the only ones that had power. Everyone else either had weapons and they were all strong and could fly super fast. But that was the part after that, after they got made the key work. This was probably my favorite part. That was the funniest. Was when he goes, "Man, I could have just pissed on it." And then they go on to the next scene. I noticed that they did throw comedy in this, but they didn't throw it. Shoot it down our neck or down our throats like they did with Justice League and or even in some of the Marvel movies, Thor Ragnarok being the main one, which I thought every joke was funny. They didn't go, there was comedy in it, but it wasn't like forced comedy. So I really liked it. James Wan kind of like, "All right, we already saw that in this movie. I'll give you a little bit, but not a lot." Because in Justice League, fucking Aquaman, him and the Flash mainly were fucking funny through the whole movie. Yeah. So I'm glad they didn't really do that in this one.
And BVS wasn't funny at all. There wasn't one joke in BVS. It was way too dark, way too serious. So yeah, that was rough. But yeah, speaking of the powers, I know we were even watching it and we were like, why do some people not, you know, why can they go up to the surface? And then there was a bunch of like Atlanteans and other people that needed like aqua suits. And then like if their suit got busted, they were like, "Oh God," like they were really struggling. And there's even a joke of one going into a toilet to survive. And that was interesting because that was like a main advisor that happened to. And it's hard to find the rules, but I did notice during that final scene, it seemed like everybody that like had any kind of royalness to them, they were cool. Like Dolph Lundgren's character, even the one new queen of the one people that didn't want to fight, she was like on a jet ski or something and she was above water. So I don't know. I don't know the rules there, but it was interesting that some could breathe and some couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, Aquaman, we know why he can breathe, because he's half human. And his mom was breathing fine because she was his dad finds Nicole Kidman. They show this in the trailer. She was basically trying to get away from an arranged marriage. So she comes up to the top and she's all hurt. He brings her in. Basically, rape makes her feel better, And then they fall in love, and then Aquaman's is the product of that. I like that story. I'm glad they didn't go into it too much. They kind of just give you little hits, but I thought that was cool. But then we get the soldiers that come up from Atlantis to try to get her to go back, and
just to cut off for a second while you recover, the thought I just had in mind was, it's interesting to compare this to Black Panther, where you had the Killmonger character, spoilers for Black Panther, by the way, you have the Killmonger character who is defeated by T'Challa, Black Panther, and he wants to save him, and he's like, no, just let me die and throw me in the ocean and stuff like that. And in this, we have Aquaman defeating his brother, and instead he does basically jail him, and he's like, when you're ready to talk, like, talk to me. Do you have a preference on how they played out? Do you like the Black Panther way? Do you like what the way they did to here in Aquaman?
Well, he's obviously going to be the villain still. So I mean, I'm glad they didn't kill him off, because I don't like when they kill off bad guys. I mean, I didn't think Patrick Wilson was the greatest bad guy. I mean, that's why I wish they would have more concentrated on Black Manta, because he fucking looked awesome in his suit, and it was fucking, they should have just done more with him. And we get him in this when he's kicking ass and they're fighting, but then he gets defeated, and then we're like, what happened to Black Manta? I mean, they don't go back to his character. So I was kind of like, wait, what? I even leaned over to the Zizo one. Yeah. What happened to Black Manta? Because yeah. So much goes on. I mean, this movie, it was pretty fast paced, but it did slow down a little bit. But towards the end, when all action was just boom, 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 throwing action, fighting underwater and everything. I think my favorite fight scene was when they were in Italy. I thought that was cool, jumping from roof to roof and all that. I thought that was awesome. But Black Manta, I mean, I wanted more of him. He was in it in the beginning, and then he's not in it for a while, and then he comes back, and then that's pretty much it. Yeah, we were told you that what was his name? Aquaman's name? Arthur. King Arthur. They call him King Arthur, is what they called him at the end. So he becomes king. And yeah, so he jails his brother. And then, okay, yeah, and we all live happily ever after. He falls in love with what's her face, Mira. And onward. Then the movie's over. I didn't really like the end scene. I mean, when the credits were rolling, like the models, I didn't like that. It just looked like, inside of a fish tank. Yeah. So if you got fish tanks and you're one of those ones that puts all kinds of cool things in there, it looked like that. I would have rather just have them a big CGI mess of cool underwater shots. But I don't know. I didn't like it. And the song that was playing, I don't know who this gal was that was singing. Nothing against her. I just didn't like the choice of the outro music. And we'll get to the credit scene in a second.
Yeah, but I would actually think that the Patrick Wilson character, if anything, he actually will join him. It'll be like a turn. He'll actually be like more of a hero going forward.
Yeah, because I really like I said, I don't really know the Aquaman character. I mean, I knew Black Manta, which I thought was awesome, but I don't really know the story on Aquaman. I probably guess I have to do some research and go into it. I don't know if his brother's still a bad guy, or maybe he joins up with him. I don't know.
Yeah. Two quick hits on Black Manta for you to react to. One, I thought it was cool, and I leaned over and told you this. The original helmet, like more comic book looking one, did appear. They had it, and they actually like gave him a reason. He's like, that's a little too small. Gonna need to make it bigger. So I thought that was cool. And then just the way he kind of did leave the film, when Aquaman threw that thing up and his suit was already failing. The way he like hits the cliff and basically hits every rock on the way down and then like scuttles into the sea. I was like, damn, like it was almost played for comedy the way he was like, dink, 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 ding, like, and then underwater.
Yeah, that was pretty much the last we saw Black Manta at when he goes falling into the ocean.
He hit the cliff.
But then, okay, flap. Then the big, huge battle happens underwater and everything. Manta's gone. We get to the very end during the credit scene and we see like a camera shot from above and we see Black Manta floating on a piece of driftwood or something. It looked like a door or something. And this fishing boat comes up and rescues him. And it turns out that it's Randall Park's character, Dr. Someone, I don't know. He was basically trying to tell everyone in the beginning of the film during this news coverage of like there is underwater Atlanteans. He was trying to say that, but nobody really was believing him. I can't get out of my glasses. What was his name? Doctor what?
Dr. Stephen Shin. And I can assume that's a character from the comic, but I'm not a DC expert, so I can't say for sure. But I would guess. He's a comic character.
Yes, I mean that's what I got. I'm like I said, I'm unfamiliar with this story, but so yeah, he finds Black Manta and basically gonna help him track down Aquaman because you see Black Manta, he's got a bandage over his eye because his helmet was split open. We get Randall Park's character trying to fiddle around with Black Manta's helmet. He kind of comes to and goes, I wouldn't do that if I were you. He's tinkering around with it and it shoots out this red beam out of it. And then he's like, oh, fuck. He goes, oh, so you know about Atlantis and the Atlanteans and you need to help me because I need to learn their technology because he realizes that is the Atlantean technology. So he's like, well, all right, I'll help you, but you got to tell me how to find this person, and he throws his little dagger into a picture of, well, it's not really a picture. It's like a silhouette of Aquaman. There's a question mark on it, and then that's the end of your movie. There's no end at the very, very end credits, and we all sat around waiting, and we didn't get anything. But we know Black Man is still alive. He's going to come back. Patrick Wilson's character is still jailed, so he's going to be around. I have no idea when the next one will come. I'm hoping for another Justice League film with all of them in it, but I don't know. Again, we're going to go into, we don't know when this is taking place in the DC timeline. So I don't know. I mean, but overall, I mean, I did enjoy the film. I just didn't get what I really wanted out of it. I mean, for me personally, it was just kind of got a little boring at the end. And this was all during the action because I think it was just like an overload of action at the end. But yeah, overall, I mean, the movie's good. Go check it out. And you guys can let us know what you thought of it, man. I enjoyed it. Like I said, I don't know if I'm going to see it again, but yeah, Aquaman, go see it.
Yeah, my final thoughts kind of echo my intro in that it did kind of leave me dizzying in a few different ways, just visually. I did appreciate the visuals, but just some of the interesting, strange choices, the music, and even just some of the way they acted, especially it felt to me, Patrick Wilson's character felt like a 90s comic book movie or early 2000s. And it definitely felt like it was trying to capture some of that vibe. So it really was all over the place and made for an interesting film. Like Nez, I don't know if I'll see it again. I may, somebody in the family might want to see it again. So I may see it again. But, you know, interestingly, as far as the home collection goes, I don't actually own any of these recent films. I don't own BVS. I don't have Justice League. I don't have Suicide Squad. I don't even have Wonder Woman. I meant to pick it up this last Black Friday, but I messed up. There's a few I should have picked up that I didn't. So, and you know, I usually lean Marvel, but I also always see these DC movies usually opening night, like we did for this one. So, where would I rank it in the DC movies? Definitely above Suicide Squad and BVS. Everybody knows those have their issues. I think I liked it more than Justice League. Wonder Woman probably has to go ahead of it, I would say. But yeah, I mean, overall, it's good. And like I said, I actually don't hold the strange things about it against it. You know, I applaud James Wan for trying to do something different. So just right off the top of your head, where would you place it in the recent DC Universe films?
It'd probably be in the middle. I thought Justice League was better than this one. Wonder Woman's leading the charge. Yeah. It would probably be right after Justice League, because what? Superman? It was all right. Oh, yeah. It was okay. Batman versus Superman was garbage. Suicide Squad was garbage. Yeah, I say Wonder Woman, Justice League, and then Aquaman. So in the middle. It is what it is. I wanted it to be fucking awesome, and it wasn't. It was good. It wasn't awesome. But yeah, I mean, I didn't leave the theater like, oh my God, I want to watch this again. I was like, it was all right.
Right.
So, but overall, man, go see it. See, you might think we're full of shit, dude. Go see it for yourself. I mean, Aquaman. But definitely go out see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That was fucking awesome.
No doubt.
But yeah, everyone, that's pretty much it. It's late and we're tired. So, we got more coming. But yeah, this was ESP at the movies and I'm tired. Now I'll talk to you guys next time.
Yeah, that'll be it for me too. Just have fun, be safe, and we'll either see you somewhere in Atlantis or out in the Spider-Verse. Have a good one.
Oh, spotty bell, swinging through midtown. Oh, what fun to sling a web and take the bad guys down. Spotty bells, quipping all the time. Oh, what fun to swing around New York while fighting crime. Quipping through the streets of New York every night. Wrapping bad guys up in my web so tight. Crawling up the walls, making villains fight. What fun to make the holidays free from crime tonight. Oh, spider bells, goblin spells, vulture laid an egg. Spider buggy blew a tire and venom got away. Hey, spotty bells, swinging all the way. Oh, what fun it is to fight the bad guys every night. Swinging through the streets on a web of spider silk. Kicking all the butts of villains.